over the Utah Mountains, so we'll go by his wishes, what he wanted. But that's what we're doing now, and I guess we'll survive. We feel real lousy right now, as I guess anybody would right now, but we'll survive. But, is there anything else?
What?
We'll also have a memorial service for Kenny in Blue Water and put a headstone up near Mom also so we can remember him. We loved him as our brother, and Mom and Dad loved him too as our son. So and we remember him so we can always remember him. And their his nieces and nephews also.
This is Grandpa Young. I wanted to tell you that my views of the last 6 months that has gone on. Right at the present time I'm driving, we're about 300 miles out of Duarte, heading for Utah. If Grandma was still alive, she'd be sitting beside me in the bench, the chair on the pasture side. If I started to weave, she would tell me that I wasn't wide enough awake, or if I got too fast and too close to the car in front of me, she would tell me that I was following too closely. And because of her help in driving, I've driven for approximately 60 years without having any real accidents at all. I did dent one fender. I blowed out one tire during these 60 years, but basically it's been free of accidents because Grandma sat beside me and told me over these many, many miles what I was not doing that she thought was taking a dangerous chance. Now, thinking about the old story of the man that started lifting a little calf when the calf was just a few days old, and he'd carry the calf around on his shoulder. He did this daily for years until the animal got to be a full-size bull. And supposedly, he could still pick this same animal up and carry him around on his shoulder. I think this is an Aesop fable, but gives you kind of an idea of the way that went with me. Grandma Young had a bad sore on her foot. We thought it was always complicated because of her diabetes. It never healed in the last, I guess, 8 or 10 years. It was always a running sore. Depending on her blood condition with the sugar and the diabetes, it would either be very sore or just slightly sore. And so she limped a great deal for a long time. In the last 6 months, she limped a little bit more than usual. However, having been acquainted with it for the last 8 or 10 years, I didn't pay much attention to it. I've always helped her get to and from the house in the car, or to go in stores, or any other little errand that we do. And when we went to church, we chose the closest parking place, and then I helped her into the church. And it really didn't bother me too much because we had been doing this for a couple of 3 years. And as I look at it now, I realize that we were helping her more and more each day as the time went on. We always thought it was diabetes, but she complained a little bit about her back hurting. About 2.5 to 3 months ago, she fell down as I was driving the truck away. I had let her out to go in a store, and the approach to the store was slightly slanted upward. What's the matter? She got out of the truck, which I had driven up fairly close to the sidewalk of TG&Y there in Grants, and let her out of the door. And I had assumed that after about 30 to 45 seconds that she would have walked up and grabbed the support to the porch that was in front of TGNY and would be walking into the store. Instead, she had started walking up this slight incline, and then losing her balance, she came back and grabbed the side of the truck. At about that same time, I started the truck to go park it and then meet her in the store. She, having a hold of the truck, yanked her, so she sat down rather hard. The paramedics and the police department and the ambulance that was there, and just, I would say, within 1 minute, we were only a block from the hospital, and it had been witnessed by a person inside of the store who immediately had assumed that she'd had a heart attack. And I found it hard to believe how fast the medics, the ambulance, and everybody, there was three police cars that arrived there just a few seconds of each other. And after we got her setting up and talked to her, and the paramedics made a sign of release that she didn't have a heart attack, that she just stumbled, and the policeman talked to us and wanted to be sure, and they asked us if she'd had heart attacks before, and we said no, that she hadn't. And then I helped her get in the truck, and we drove home, not having gone to TGNY and doing the purchasing that she had. I've regretted many times that I didn't get completely out of the car at that time, or the truck, and help her into the store so that this little incident wouldn't have happened. We put her in the hospital after that to check her back and to check her heart, and they run all of the tests on her and pronounced that she was well and strong, with the exception of that running sore on her foot and the diabetes that was bothering her. From that day to the end, she couldn't move too suddenly without complaining about her back hurting her. For Christmas, David and Melissa bought her a rather elaborate back massager and vibrator. At home, she enjoyed sitting in one of the recliner chairs, of which we had three, in front of a nice television console. And depending on how her back felt, she sat in one of the three. And this vibrator, our massager, was designed to sit or lay between her back and the back of the chair. You could set any speed you wanted on the vibrations, or you could turn the vibrations off completely and just have a slight warming. It was much to our disappointment after she'd opened the package Christmas morning to find that it said, "Do not use with persons having diabetics or diabetes." But we did try it one time. For about 4 minutes, we set her in a chair and just vibrated the vibrator. We didn't use the heat pad. We felt that it'd be a risk enough just to vibrate it without using the heat. And Grandma was quite comfortable in Duarte there, and like Martine had said, she didn't hardly want to go over to Palm Springs, but she decided that she didn't want to be the one to spoil all the children's fun going over and going swimming and hiking and all the rest. So we went to Palm Springs. There at Palm Springs, she laid on the bed a great deal. She had no pain or anything as long as she was laying on the bed. She slept a little bit, then she would lay there and watch us. But as the hours went along on the 30th, she became more and more groggy. On the 31st, she would say, "I can't," too often. So Martine talked to her about having a positive attitude. She must say, "You mustn't say I can't. You must say I can do it." And Martine mentioned the little train that could, because he tried to. and other little stories like that. And it did help Mom, because we had to go downstairs to eat, and then we climbed back up the stairs to sleep. And there's where we were on the night of the 30th, was back upstairs. She hadn't eaten very much during the day. We got a bite or two of cottage cheese down, or a few pears. But basically, she didn't eat hardly anything. But Monday morning, the 31st, she woke up about 4 o'clock in the morning and said that she would like something to eat. And I told her that it was impossible because the kitchenette was downstairs and all of Mardine's group was sound asleep, and I didn't want to disturb them. So she dropped the subject and tried to go back to sleep. I had to help her to the bathroom a couple of times that morning. And finally, about 7:30, I felt that Mardine should have been up. So I went downstairs and got her something to eat. I went back up the stairs and with a bowl of cottage cheese and pears, set her up, helped her set up in bed. She had her feet hanging over the side and started to feed her. I was holding my knees or my legs against one side of her to keep her falling one way, and kind of holding her shoulder to the other, and trying to feed with a spoon with the other hand. And her head would fall forward, and I told her that if she expected to eat, she had to hold her head up. It didn't dawn on me that she was apparently getting quite weak at that time. But instead of straightening her head up, which I wanted to do, she slipped off the bed and sat on the floor. I had little difficulty keeping her from falling over anymore and putting the bowl of food back on a table so that it wouldn't be spilled all over the carpet. I hadn't sat there too long when Mardine and Becky came up, and then we endeavored to get her sitting back up on the bed, and we couldn't lift her because she weighed approximately 220 pounds and was limp. When I started to lift her, her arms had come up over her head, and I couldn't lift her that way. So by that time, Becky apparently had gone down and got Laura Ruth. I was too busy working with Tootsie, as I called her. And then Laura Ruth came, and she was unable to help us anymore. At that time, Mardine, I believe, was the one that went to call the paramedics. During this time, we had tried to take her blood sugar to see if we were short of blood or sugar. Maybe it was an insulin reaction, or maybe it was a shortage of sugar in her blood. We didn't know, but we were unable to get enough blood to make a test. When the paramedics arrived, they put a blood pressure tester on her arm, but the doctor or the paramedic was unable to get a reading that he considered favorable at all of making any diagnosis of us of the pulse. We moved the bed out of the road and put her on a stretcher, and they took her to the ambulance. Mardine has told you from there. In my observation of the way the things ended up, I believe that for the last 3 or 4 years that there has been cancer reoccurrence that she had had about 14 years before. We cannot be certain yet, because the doctors were all out to the, I suppose, the Rose Bowl or somewhere else, being as it was a year's end. The coroner that came in wasn't qualified to sign a death certificate. But